tonight on The Gay Man's Guide.
Ooh, bitch, I'ma read you for filth.
Is that a chinchilla on your head? Cause your wig is looking unnappy.
Ooh, all tea, all shade.
No tea, no shade.
Bitch, you look busted.
Penis tuck.
Guys, what the fuck are you talking about?
Nothing.
It's all coming up now on The Gay Man's Guide. RuPaul Drag Race. Start your engines. RuPaul Drag Race. Be the best woman win. RuPaul Drag Race. Start your engines. RuPaul Drag Race. Be the best woman. Best woman. Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Gay Man's Guide. I'm Lee.
I'm Freddie.
And I'm Ryan. And tonight we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to all of our queer hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So gay.
So gay. We're going to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes.
Start your engines.
RuPaul's Drag Race.
May the best woman win.
Oh, okay. We're done.
Yeah, that was good. That's why we're not singers.
I auditioned for American Idol once.
Mm. Well, we see why you didn't get it. While you're sitting on the couch recording a Gay Man's Guide podcast and not hanging out with Kelly Clarkson.
Truth.
All right, Justin Guarini.
Mm-hmm. Where my people at?
Oh, sorry. Hell no.
Sorry.
So we are going to chat about not only this season 5 of RuPaul's Drag Race, but also seasons in the past and just the show in general and kind of how it's affected our community and kind
how
of
gay it is.
Well, it's really fucking gay. Like, it's really gay. So let's start at the beginning, because that's a very good place to start.
So season one,
I mean, you know, we had our winner from Cameroon, you know, BB.
You know what's so funny about that season?
Yeah.
Is RuPaul did an interview that I watched a long time ago, obviously, and she was talking about, like, the show and the concept of it and how she, like, was thinking about it, and she's like, I feel like an octomom, like, because octomom was, like, really big at that time, and she was like, and I gave birth to 9 beautiful drag queens, and she just, like, you know, ate it up. But really, that's what happened. The show was, like, a little idea that was, like, what would happen if we did this? And Logo was actually not...
They didn't want it.
They didn't want it? No, they did. But they weren't, like, doing so hot.
They wanted something to save the network, and they didn't think that Drag Race was going to do it, but God, were they sorely mistaken.
Side note, it's funny to compare the first season of Drag Race to the first season of Top Model.
Yes.
Because they both have really shitty sets,
oh.
And they both have a lot of Vaseline on the camera lens.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of a standard, and let's hope this works.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was ridiculous how the lighting was.
Oh my god.
She looked like this fluorescent.
She looked like a goddess.
Always.
Well, she always does, but she looked like just a beacon of light with blonde hair.
But my favorite is in the same room, they would be focusing on the opposite queens, and they did not look like a beacon of hope.
No,
yeah, the lighting budget ran out at that point. It's rather sad. Who was the one from season one? She ended up being on All Stars.
Tammy.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
God.
Tammy Brown.
I loved her.
I don't see you out in nature walking children. Best line.
Send us Tamar.
Oh my gosh.
She is something. Yeah. I think my favorite in that season was Nina Flowers.
Oh, Nina
she was
great.
She was really nice.
It seems like every season my favorite never makes it. Like, wins. Yeah.
Well, we know who's not winning this season then.
So I should probably not take lottery numbers from you then.
Yeah, bad idea.
Never, ever.
You know who else was really great in season one? Was Angina.
Yes.
Just because that was the first time that, you know, in a lot of cities, the genderfuck version of drag that Angina does isn't always popular, or it doesn't even exist. Mm-hmm. And so Angina brought this genderfuck drag to the mainstream, to the gay mainstream. And
not only, like, did she bring that, but I, you know, when she admitted her,
oh my gosh, when she came out with her status, that was intense.
That was very intense.
Notice these things only happen on first seasons. Like, Real World happened, their big HIV AIDS.
Well,
thing
no, in
was
the
in
second
season two.
In the second season, Sonique at the reunion, she came out that she was a transgendered woman.
Yep. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. You're right. And then there was All Stars who had someone come out as transgender.
No.
Yeah. Or is it this season?
This season.
Was
yeah,
it this season?
Season, yeah, Monica.
I feel like this season's just gone on for
it really has. And I think this season has felt like it's gone on forever because
there was 14 queens.
Because there were 14 queens,
yeah.
But they all knew each other, so we weren't watching any relationships build.
Yeah.
And which is, I know that sounds really cheesy and cliche, but, like, the best part is watching, like, the cliques form.
Yeah.
But with this season, with season five, I felt like we walked in on the first episode and like
there was clicks.
They were already they were good. They were good to go, and so we didn't get to watch anyone be bitchy with each other.
Yeah, like I think second season for me, you saw those relationships and that clicks grew.
The boogers and the heathers.
No, that was third season.
Was that third?
Yeah. Second season. Oh, shit, remember, that's right. It was by the top Tati. Four against Tati.
Oh my gosh, Tatiana.
And although you know, I am
Puerto Rican.
I am Puerto Rican.
A true fact.
But I actually am curious to see if they put her on a, like season two of All Stars because she has grown so
much. Well, I know. She's
much.
She's from D.C., like where I went to school. And so she, like, we would see her every once in a while. And then she performs at the club we went to all the, like, she's on their cast now. And it's not the same girl that we knew in 2009. Like, she's a totally different performer and, like, she's gotten her shit together, I hope. I mean, I hope she's putting some shading on her face and not just wearing blush.
Yeah.
You know?
Because, I mean, and she, like, let's be honest, her snatch of Britney, Snatch Game Britney,
that was great.
That was,
I loved
but,
it.
Amazing.
But you know how, like, in this season, Roxy has been making fun of, it's been commenting to Jinx about, like, how it's just dumb luck that she's getting this far?
Mm-hmm.
I really think Tatiana's Britney was just dumb luck. Like, straight up.
Oh, hands down.
I think it was just dumb luck.
She just probably was
she
like
was a, just dumb and had some luck, thus dumb luck, if you will.
But I have to say, I was not a big fan of Raven during that season. Although I thought she should have beat Tyra personally.
Oh
yeah,
that was bullshit.
Raven, I don't know if I'm just a fan of her style of drag, but I loved her personality at times. It really came out.
I did not like it. I didn't like her until All Stars. Like,
really?
Legitimately.
Yeah. Like, I think that was maybe when I was like, I can give her a little bit of a chance.
I mean, like, during All Stars, we'll go to All Stars later, but I felt like they showed the different sides to the queens we've already had seen. So we saw
which was great.
Yeah. Like, Chad was actually a cunt.
Who knew?
And also really loved to quote Hunger Games.
Yes.
Over and over and over again.
And she was a professional.
Oh my gosh. That was exhausting in All Stars.
That was a brutal season until the very end. We're like, oh good, someone really deserved to win. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that. But second season.
Yeah, second season. Raven was great in Juju.
Yeah, and here's my thing. Like, Juju was really good, and that's the thing, like...
Oh my gosh, you know who else was in second season? And she's, like, the total underdog, but one of my favorite characters, Nicole Paige Brooks from Atlanta, Georgia! Oh my gosh,
I hated her.
I know, I wasn't a huge fan, but the fact that Raven read her up and down for having French tip press-on pedicure, oh my god, that was so good.
And you know who else was in that season? Two Piece and a Biscuit.
Oh my gosh, Mystique Summers Madison. Yes. That's right, I forgot about her.
I love
her.
A Two Piece
Bitch,
and a Biscuit.
Bitch, I am from Chicago.
I thought Morgan McMichaels was going to kill her. And I would have watched.
And her, and no
the
offense.
Lamp shade.
No shade, but all tea, all shade.
All tea, shade.
Your broke ass split.
She loved a split. Oh, she loved a split real good. She loved a split more than she loved a Two Piece.
Who was it that loved to do Death Drop all the time in her lip syncs?
That doesn't narrow it down.
I know. So. No, but there was one. I feel like maybe
I think
it was...
you mean Milan.
Yeah.
Milan did love
My
to do.
My gosh.
Always.
Yeah.
And you
oh,
know
you
what's
know
funny?
Who else was in second season? Who? Sahara, who passed away.
That's oh, right. Yeah. She was great.
She was
really good.
She was really good. And I really loved her style of drag. Like, it was just very classic.
Yes.
Which
and,
was
and
nice.
She was, and the cool thing about her, she was always, when she was on, she was on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was a performer.
Yes.
And it was a performance, always.
Yeah, it
and,
was always a performance.
And,
Well, I was going to say that brings up a good point, which has really been argued in this season. What style of drag do you prefer?
Well, I mean, it just, like, really just depends. Like, I personally like drag queens who have a personality that is relatable. That is...
Which is funny you say that because of who you want to win season 5.
We'll talk about that in a little bit.
I'm just saying.
But, you know...
All tea, all shade.
All tea, all shade. But you know who went home first in second season? Shangela.
That's true.
And she ended up in season 3.
Well, she should have gone...
season 4.
She, she should have gone home first in that second season. She was not in... RuPaul, I think, did her a disservice by casting her in that second season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she
came... That was a strong season.
That was a very strong season because it had just come off of the first season, which was really popular and proved that this show could be a huge hit
yes.
for our community, for the drag community. Mm-hmm. But Shangela just wasn't the right fit. She was great in the third season.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
I mean, her makeup was still busted as shit. Oh,
but let me tell you something. But that's something that I really liked about her was that she was a perfect. Former.
Yes, she was.
And
have you ever watched any of her YouTube videos?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Well, she now does like a lot of the logo in
yeah.
between
yeah, sections. She's like a personality.
Yeah, she does a lot. Pandora, and now Willem is yeah. also a personality with them. And we'll talk about it in a little bit, but Willem's beatdown is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
It's so, oh my gosh.
But, you know, third season, who did we have? We had Carmen, who's now a woman.
Right.
Fun fact, my roommate made out with Carmen.
That's not surprising, supposedly, that
oh, Carmen was on Drag Race.
He knew.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'm pretty sure he knew, but yeah.
We
that was an interesting story.
Raja, who won.
We had Raja, who was very, like, and I hate to be, like, stereotypical, but she was a supermodel. Very model.
She was a fashion, she did the fashion genderfuck, like. Yeah. And because Raja is based in LA, that type of drag is acceptable.
Absolutely.
If a performer like that was to show up in a city like Orlando or even DC, it wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. Like, it would not translate.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, like, because we also had Stacey Lane Matthews.
Oh my gosh, Stacey Lane from Bumble Scum.
Yeah.
Backwater Swamp, Louisiana, and Tennessee.
It was so rangy. That season really showed
that was
a lot
really
of range.
Yeah, and you also, was Pandora that season?
No. Third season, are you talking about Comedy Queens from that season?
No, I'm just talking about Queens in general from the
okay,
third
so
season.
They
we had
Manila.
Who was, I love Manila.
They had Alexis Mateo.
We have to be careful about which queens we talk about since three of them have worked at Disney, and some of our listeners might be friends with them.
Oops. It doesn't matter. This is all tea. I mean, no tea, no
shade. This is all tea, all
this
shade.
This is just our opinions. And
side note, everyone knows what tea means, right?
I actually learned what no tea, no shade was.
Let our listeners know what that is?
So tea is just the letter T, and it stands for truth. So it's all the truth. And then shade is when you're being shady. Can you use a word to describe itself? I just did,
no.
So everyone can suck my dick.
But it's our opinions, and if you guys disagree with our opinions, go ahead and leave us a comment on the Facebook.
You know, we say that every time, and
no one ever leaves.
No, no, it's only when we go on hiatus do people go, "Hey, where'd you go?"
Right.
I think they just like listening to us. We're like when old people go to sleep at night and they put on like Murder, She Wrote or MacGyver. Like, we're the people that, you know, we're the people that we let them fall asleep.
Yeah, oh, my
like,
gosh. We love being in your bedroom every night.
Yeah. Oh, you know, we'll do it NPR style. We'll get real close. Oh,
Freddie really loves being in your bedroom because he's a prostitute. Oh.
Anyways, back to third season. I thought it was very interesting because Raja was always consistently
amazing.
Yes. And it came down to Manila and her. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, sorry for giving you spoilers. You should have been already watching.
Oh, yeah.
It's all on Netflix, by the way.
Sorry about it. Sorry, not sorry.
Season one is on Logo, so you can literally watch it online.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Manila had been sometimes really awesome, but then sometimes she was in the bottom too.
Yeah.
She was never really super consistent.
Always great.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it came down to Raja and Manila. Mm-hmm.
Manila kind of reminds me of Roxy a little bit. In the, you know,
ooh,
she's great
no.
sometimes, and then
I disagree.
She's kinda,
disagree completely.
I disagree for a few reasons. One, Roxy, as much as I've got a mixed opinion on her performance and the way she treats people, she is always spot on. Her drag is always flawless. Mm-hmm. Always flawless.
Yeah.
Manila, for some reason, the lace front she was wearing always made her hairline look really awkward,
and
she never beat it in.
That's true.
70 heads.
And she didn't know. I mean, her makeup was great. Was pretty good, but there were some times when she didn't shape her face properly, and
agreed.
So it always looked weird. And her same with her body. There were some times when her body looked peculiar, like it didn't match what she was doing.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Just total side note. When Santino read,
Alexis for the pads. Well, he read Alexis, and he read Penny this season.
Oh my God!
Because Penny's pads were a mess
no.
this season.
They were. Horrifying.
But honestly,
it looks like you have two hams stuffed in there.
Yeah. Is that your
that's
Santino?
That's my Santino, yeah.
That was actually a really horrible Santino.
No, you know, that's what I'm good at. I'm good at
horrible
really
impressions.
Bad impressions, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You nailed it.
No, it's
but
spot on.
I, you know, it's funny, and because...
You might want to get closer to
oh,
the
sorry.
Microphone.
I just think it's interesting because I think of, like... I also thought to myself, watching third season, had Jujubee been on third season instead of second, I feel like she would have been in the top two, hands
I,
down.
Yeah. No, it's funny when you think about how if certain queens were in different seasons, or if they had been paired up a little differently,
mm-hmm.
how much that would have changed the dynamic of that season,
yeah.
and it would have changed the outcome of things.
Yeah.
You know, but the important thing to remember is that really, in the second season, RuPaul started doing some things that she didn't do in the first season, some of the challenges. She also
and
added
she
more queens.
The cast,
yeah. yeah. But if you look at it, basically, from second season, all the challenges have remained the same.
They really have.
The first challenge is always a photo shoot and trash.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a snatch game, which means you should bring your celebrity impersonation.
Uh-huh. And there's always a video shoot near
the video shoot is always the end. The ball is always when there's the final four. And that's been from the first season.
Yeah.
Because remember,
the
Chanel did that.
Cocktail.
She did, and she did the, I am your Miss Mandarin Orange. That was me licking my lips really awkwardly like she did.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I have creepy. To sanitize the microphone.
But I felt, you know, I felt second season had, it was like fierce queens.
Yeah.
That season was so solid,
mm-hmm.
and it was always close. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You could never pick who was going, what was going to happen next.
Yeah. And then, so we jumped to fourth season.
Yeah.
In fourth season, we had a lot of really different variety again.
I was bored in the fourth season.
Really?
I got, when I started watching the fourth season, I got really bored because I love, like you were saying, I love queens who have a character. So I was intrigued by Latrice, I was intrigued by Willem, and I was intrigued by Sharon.
Yeah.
Like, just in the, because I judged the season on the preview. I mean,
yeah.
I watched the whole season, but
yeah.
like, those three were the only three that really intrigued me.
Right.
Yeah. And Willem, I think that they kind of blew the whole little controversy they had with him a little out of proportion.
Well, do you know what it was?
Well, yeah, he went and saw, or his, I, what was
his
it?
Boyfriend
came
to
the hotel
yeah.
that they put him up in,
yeah.
and it's against the rules.
Correct.
But
like,
I feel
they
like,
can't tell anyone that they leave.
Yeah.
They literally can't.
Yeah.
Like,
but
they
I felt
can
like
literally
they,
just say, look, I won't be on Facebook for like 3 months. Bye.
Yeah. I felt like that was just like the way they were kind of teasing up to it that. You know,
there was something else,
unforgivable.
Like drugs or something.
Yeah, I would have sworn up and down it was like drugs or.
Well, that's because they also like used. Fifi had that horrible B-roll footage of her being like, "Willem gets what she deserves." That was my Fifi impression.
Spot on, really.
But what's
well,
funny
my teeth
is
are much prettier.
When
so.
When the first episode of fourth season happened,
mm-hmm.
I was like, and Fifi came out for the Rupocalypse. Honestly, I was like, damn, that is fierce. And then from then on, it was like downgrade.
It was subpar.
Yeah. So it sucks because if you go in strong, you have to consistently
be
strong.
Yeah.
If you go in mediocre and then you get better, all of a sudden they're like sucking your coochie
mm-hmm.
up and down. And so it sucks if you start off strong because then you'll start sagging. It's like a sag thing.
Well, it's also a part of the competition. You have to, if you set the bar too high going in very early, you're going to stumble and you're going to just go nowhere but down.
That's how I felt with Chad too.
Yeah.
Like she set it so high when she would come out. And then near the end, I remember it was like the Pride episode. It was a Pride Parade episode.
Mm-hmm.
And she came out in that showgirl outfit and it looked so damn jankety.
See, and this is my thing is that for me, because I've been doing drag since 2005, like, there's a lot of queens in past seasons who didn't need the show to elevate them.
Yeah.
I'm sure the money's great, and I'm sure they can increase their booking fees, but, like,
mm-hmm.
Chad didn't need the show.
Yeah.
Coco didn't need the show.
Yeah.
Roxy didn't need the show. Detox didn't need the show. You know, there's queens who didn't need the platform. I mean, good for them for getting it, but
yeah.
There are times when I'm like, you are so already respected in this art form that, you know, this show projects people. Side note, I do want to say to all of our listeners, if you go and watch a drag show, please tip the queens. If you
please.
Go to a drag show.
For real.
And you are watching members of the cast of RuPaul's Drag Race, please, for the love of God, do not give them a $20 bill. Because the bitches are making more money than you will see in 3 weeks.
True.
Just by doing one number. So do not give them a $20 bill, okay?
You give them $1 bill.
You give them $1. If you, and you know what? If it's someone you love, give them a $5. $20 is a shit ton of money to give a drag queen, especially when she is horribly lip syncing a Beyonce song. Correct. And just back humping a wall. Roxy Andrews has.
Oh, damn. Oh, I'm sorry.
All tea, all shade.
Look, here's the, and that's the other thing too is, for me, because I've been watching drag for so long, and because I grew up in a different version of drag than what we have here in Orlando.
It's been really hard for you, right?
It's been really hard for me because the drag down here is so different than what I'm used to. And I watch performers like Roxy, who are wonderful performers. She is, her lip sync is tight, and her costumes are fabulous, and her wigs are amazing, and her face makeup, is fierce. But there's no like stage presence to it. It's just the gimmick of it, I guess. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we've all gone and seen her multiple times, yeah. And she legitimately is stomping around a stage and taking money.
Yeah.
And that's true. You know, she does beautiful pageant work. Her pageant stuff is stunning, but she doesn't do that at the bars.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, and to kind of just finish up with, because we're about to hit fifth season.
Oh God.
Willem to me was, it sucks that she broke the rules, but she was smart. She is a smart queen. Mm-hmm. And I realized it after she had finished the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, damn. She was really smart. Like, her being a bitch on every time, like, whenever it was, like, that B-footage stuff, mm-hmm. It was a character. She was in character.
And she was playing the game beautifully. Yeah. Like, she was the only one that, when she was cast for that season, she played it from the moment she walked in. Mm-hmm. It was amazing, and I hated her for it. I absolutely hated her.
At first, I hated her.
And then it was kind of after the season was over, I'm like, wait a minute. She's, holy shit, she's playing a game.
This is a whole character.
This is good. And she did a thing, when were the Summer Olympics? Last year?
Yeah.
She did the Ho-lympics for Logo. Have you guys seen it?
No.
Oh my God, it is absolutely hysterical. She gets like 8 gay guys from across the country that are like different nationalities and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just the stuff she's just being herself, and it's so funny. But if it would have been during her actual season, I would have hated her.
Yeah,
which is weird because I've never felt like that with anybody else.
Yeah, no, agreed.
Now, do you feel, because like we can watch Top Model and like not feel any emotional connection to it? Is it because these people these queens represent our community?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I really, really, truly believe that that's really what it is. Like, as much as, like, agreed, being nasty and mean to each other, like, Fifi O'Hara was
nasty.
And
her teeth are fucked up.
But she is, if she does not smile, she's a attractive boy for the most part. However. Yeah,
that's fair.
She and her boyfriend is also very attractive.
All right, well, now you're getting into weird territory.
Sorry.
Now.
I'm getting into weird right now.
Someone stalks on Facebook.
No, never. But it's like an attitude thing. And I get it. Reality shows, like if I was ever going to go on a reality show, I would play the bitch up. Mm-hmm. Because the bitch gets more.
The screen time.
Yes.
Yep.
And so what if everyone hates you? Guess what? You're still going to get crazy booked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, the bitch, Fifi O'Hara. That and I had followed her on Facebook, and it was like a couple weeks ago she had said, the MC pretty much told me how I was not good and blah 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 blah, but guess what, she still got booked.
She did, and not only did she get booked, she got a booking fee, which after you've been on that show, you can ask for $500 easy, mm-hmm. and travel. And get exactly which one, and get all those tips, and get an open tat. Like,
The moment you have the Logo branding with you.
No, not Logo
or
branding.
RuPaul branding. Sorry. The moment that you have the RuPaul branding, you're set.
Yeah.
There is no, you know, even if you were the first to go in the season,
you were still on
you're
the show.
Still going to get some bookings.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then we get to fifth season, mm-hmm. and then it's like a snooze up.
It was so boring. This season was so boring.
And like you said, there were a lot of queens that didn't need the boost up for the season.
Well, not only, and this is the other thing too. Not only do I like to watch the relationships because I think relationships are always really interesting to watch, but mm-hmm. I like to see when queens change and when they. I mean, let's look at Jujubee. Jujubee, the first episode, like her wig was busted, mm-hmm. her makeup was. God. Look, I'm gonna
she
be
was
real.
A hot mess.
She was. I mean, her wig was a little messed up. Her makeup was not flawless. By the end of that season, she had polished herself so much. And then seeing her on All Stars now, she's a totally different queen.
Yeah, and I mean, yes, agreed. She's like, so nice to fix.
I don't want to see. There's no one really from season five that, like, if they did a season two of All Stars, that I would want, that I would be interested in watching.
Nobody really improved. Nobody really stands out. I would like to
see Detox. That's the only person.
Because she's good TV.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
and because she actually is talented. Like
the, no, I would agree.
The telenovela episode. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. She blew it so out of the funny. Water. Mm-hmm. And I did not. When you first met her, she's like, crown it. I was like, this fucking bitch is going to annoy me. However, she was funny.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Yeah.
And it was the telenovela that I was like, this bitch does not take herself seriously. This is what is great.
Really? That's funny that you say that.
You're going to say something.
I am. I am. Okay, so before we were recording, we were talking about the show. We were talking about Drag Race. And Freddie and I had a conversation about Jinx and Roxy. I'm Team Jinx.
And so am I.
Well, then I'm the odd one out.
However, before we get into this, I was Team Roxy up until the last two episodes.
When she turned into a bully?
There is no excuse, no matter how much you go and apologize on Instagram and Facebook and everything else.
Oh, you're
there
following was, her.
Well, no, I mean, well, yeah, but you know, she posted like this huge, like, let me explain what happened. And yes, she apologized. And I respect the fact that she apologized. However, I was like, okay, this happened one episode. I'm not going to get too, you know, everybody makes mistakes, no big deal. Then here she comes, the next episode, and even harder at her. And I'm just like, this is not right. We're trying to build our community up, not tear it down, and that's exactly what you're doing.
I agree completely, however.
But talent-wise, she's phenomenal. I love her.
Her acting is blech. Yeah. However, when it comes down to everything, my problem with Jinx is that I just don't get the shtick. It goes over my head. That's really what it is. It goes over my head and I don't get it. A lot of the time, that's really what it is. Mm-hmm. And like, I was trying to explain that and Ryan was like, no, she has a whole character, a fully realized she character. Is.
I wish you could see the pantomime that
that was really a toss. Yeah.
But I get that. It's just like, but then why don't you always, why are there like strands everywhere? Why doesn't it look a little more polished? That's all I ask for Jinx. Why hasn't it gotten polished? Mm-hmm. It's gotten better, but it's not polished. And I get the whole character thing, but come on, that ball, she looked horrible.
She looked a mess, but she had to lip sync because she looked a mess. The thing is, and this is my thing, this is why...
Why didn't she lip-sync more often?
Because she didn't have to. Because she... This is my issue with Drag Race in general, with the show, is drag queens have people who sew for them. Mm-hmm. People who do their hair for them. Most of us do our own makeup. Most of us do numbers we're comfortable with. Drag Race pushes us into categories that we don't always do. Like, Roxy is obviously not an actress, so she is not going to do a dramatic number. As we know, she likes to do her top 40 hip-hop and R&B numbers and smack her ass. And you know what I mean? Like, that's what she likes to do. Jinx's style and genre is these old ingenues from the 40s and 50s, and this style that really doesn't always work. Again, the thing is, I'm sure in Seattle... or Portland, wherever the fuck she's from, I don't know. It's cold and rainy there, so it doesn't matter. But that artistic version of drag is appreciated, and the fact that she is a character that is fully realized makes her respected in her community.
And I get that completely. But once you get pushed out into America, really, this is America now. So you're competing against other queens. The critiques that you're getting... Because I get it. You get a critique and they're trying to help you. They're not sitting there going, you're fucking terrible to say you're fucking terrible. They're saying it to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And she did get better, but it's like, comb your hair a little more. Like, can you pin that back?
Shangela doesn't know how to do hair.
Hell no. And I call her out and I love Shangela. But when it was when she did that country number and that hair was awful. And I was like, that bitch needs to go home. I still love the fact that she had this ridiculous over the top character and now she's getting a lot of work for it.
Yeah.
And Jinx will get a lot of work. Oh, I just don't think that $100,000 should go to her.
Why?
Because she's gonna buy a bunch of damn flapper dresses.
If I would look, here's the thing: if I won RuPaul's Drag Race and I won that much money, that money would go towards me getting some hair. It would go towards me getting a few flapper dresses because that's kind of my style. That weird, like, vintagey costumey.
But you are much wider range. Come on, Ryan. You're gonna tell me that you fall in the same category as Jinx? I don't think you do at all.
Well, here's the thing, and I think this is why I like Jinx and why I like Manila too and Pandora.
I love Manila.
Was because I think they're all in the same vein of drag.
Yeah, they kind of are.
Where they have a shtick.
I don't get the Jinx shtick.
Well, do not get her shtick because, like, you haven't watched movies from the 40s and 50s, or like, is it because because the thing is, I've watched movies from the 40s and 50s, and her stuff makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Because it's this over the top, like, campy fabulousness. And here's the joke, and I think Jinx is in on it, and sometimes I think queens in general forget that this is all a joke. We all are tucking our dicks between our legs. Straight up.
No, it's
like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, I'm all for Roxy taking it as an art form, because the way that Roxy does drag, it is an art form. She looks fabulous and stunning.
Absolutely.
But
go on.
My thing is, the joke is, we're all men in dresses.
True.
We are all men in dresses. We are all putting on 14 pairs of pantyhose and shaving our legs and putting on pounds of makeup and pinning wigs to our head. So, for no other reason than that, I respect Jinx and the fact that she really is at the core of drag, what drag is about. It's fun, it's campy, it's about not taking life seriously, mm-hmm. and it's about the fact that no matter what else is going on around you, you have this escape. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. And for her, I think it is an escape. It's not her job.
Yeah.
It's something she's passionate about.
Yeah, and the thing that I've noticed about her is that she doesn't turn it off. Mm-hmm. When she gets in drag, she's still her. I mean, she really takes what she does. And that's a lot. That's what Roxy kept calling her out on. I don't think you take this seriously. No, she takes it very, very seriously. You can see the passion that she has. Do I think she's the most polished? No.
No.
She does have stuff that she needs to work on. But I think the thing that's so intriguing about her is that she brings a style that a lot of people haven't seen. Mm-hmm. And while you may not personally enjoy that style, it's very refreshing to see. Mm-hmm. Because as much as we all love Roxy, it's very...
I have to disagree by the with book. You completely, because...
She's gorgeous, but she's very by the book.
I think that Sharon was out of... She was in on a shtick. Her character, yeah, totally. It's a crazy character. And I loved Sharon Needles. I absolutely was in on every joke. I thought it was hilarious that she was quote-unquote spooky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jinx, I get it. It's just like, they said Sweet 16. When I think of Sweet 16, and I know I keep reverting back to this.
She was a mess in that one. But again, she had to lip sync for her decisions. Ugh.
And like,
it's not, here's the thing. If she had done that outfit, that her whole ball look, and like had not gotten red for it and had not had to do bottom two, mm-hmm. I'd totally be all for it. But she had to lip sync for her life. The other thing too is you keep referring to some of her runway looks. And while they talk about the runway looks, I really don't think in the judging that they put as much consideration into the runway looks as it's edited to look like they do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I really think they judge them on
the challenges.
And again, that reverts back to what I was saying where, I mean, I'm not, as a drag queen, I'm not going to go host a children's show.
Right.
I'm not going to go dumpster dive. Well, I might. But you know what I mean? Like,
you totally would.
I mean, I would. But, like, these challenges are to push us out of our comfort zone, or to push the contestants out of their comfort zone.
Right.
And... in all honesty, she has done it with such grace and poise that, and I mean, Roxy did make a good point. It does seem like this season there was a lot more acting-ish challenges.
Absolutely.
On the flip side of that, though, and again, like I said a little bit ago, if you look at the pattern, most of the challenges have been repeated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that. I really, really did want Detox in the top three, for sure.
That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm really saying. Detox, I love you. No, I just thought Detox should have been in the top three. I thought she was all consistently either in the middle or the top. And then when she had to lip sync, I felt like it was like a stupid decision. This is the reason why we're going to make you lip sync. It wasn't like a...
Well, and here's the other question. Mm. We've kind of talked about this. This season, the queens were so polished. Almost all of the queens this season were polished and flawless. Mm-hmm. Is that part of the reason that you think that Detox's fabulousness and Detox's polished and professionalism is when you're comparing it to someone like Jinx who does bar gigs, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Most of these girls are pageant queens or fishy, which is a totally different way to paint. Jinx does drag makeup.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I mean? I see.
Is that another reason why?
No, like, it's difficult? Because I get it. Like, Sharon Needles, why? Because I personally put Sharon and Jinx in the same category, realistically.
Yeah, shticky.
Shticky. And I love Sharon. That's why I was like, because people are like, oh, we've never seen it before in Drag Race. I was like, but we did with Sharon. Mm-hmm. She was a shtick. It was a shticky thing.
I mean, if you want to
But she went out of her comfort zone. So far out that she was doing other things that they had asked her to do. Mm-hmm. They were like, let's see fierce
Glamazon.
Yeah. And she gave it. And when they tell Jinx that, she comes in with something that's not even remotely
Glamazon. No, I mean, I get that. I totally get that. But for no other reason than Jinx is unlike any other potential winner of this mm-hmm. this show.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, Roxy matches up really closely with Tyra.
Yeah.
They're basically sisters.
Yeah.
I mean, legitimately.
From the same bar.
And Alaska really matches up with Sharon, unfortunately. As much as they talk about not... they blend together for me. Is that bad for me to say?
No, I mean, no, I feel like Alaska doesn't do a lot of spook. She doesn't really do spook.
She doesn't. That's fair.
She's like spook light.
Right, she's like diet spook. Yeah. She's like diet spook. She's like zero calorie spook.
Yeah,
I think what she does really well is the bulimic look.
Yeah,
the,
she does.
You know what I mean? She does that very well.
Like Sharon's spooky, and then Alaska's bulimic.
Right.
I see where you're going with Sharon and Jinx. You know, they're both. We've seen they're it. Both. Yeah, they're both out there. We get it. But as far as Jinx is concerned, she really hasn't put herself out there. She really hasn't
pushed.
You know. Shown the different sides that she can do while still remaining true to who she is right. as a character. And I understand that. But in all,
neither has Roxy.
True. That is very... Because she's been almost as straight across the board.
She has stayed pretty and glamorous no matter what.
Have you noticed all of her dresses have always almost been the same cut style or she always has the strings?
Well, she's a big girl.
I get it, but I don't
think... She loves the fringe and she loves to wear a chest plate.
I don't think she's that big of a big girl, though.
She's not. She's not.
She used to be.
She used to be, but what... I mean...
And she's gained some weight recently. All shade.
But she's really remained pretty standard, and so has Jinx, and so has Alaska, even. It's been a very
down
the line. I mean, the only person that really got red for their makeup is Coco, and in the not the last
and
one.
And let's talk about the worst dress ever, Alyssa Edwards.
Oh my god.
That is the worst dress I have ever seen in 5 years.
And I loved it.
Well, the thing is, bottom line is, when you have a show that goes on for as long as Drag Race has gone for 5 years, things are going to start to blend together. They're going to start to get very boring. And that's where I'm hoping in the next season... they really start to refresh themselves.
And don't pick a bunch of friends to go up on the damn show.
Well, no, exactly. Jesus. Like, that's the thing, is that in past seasons, I know we're almost done, yeah. But in past seasons, it's been a very mixed bag of experiences and talents and types of drag and styles of drag. This season, predominantly fishy and pageant girls. And that's why it was boring.
No, I agree.
And that's why they all complain about acting challenges, because pageant girls don't do acting. I mean, that's a horrible generalization, because a lot of them do lip sync to Steel Magnolia quotes for their talent. But on the whole, Preparation H feels good. And they...
This is second Austin Powers quote.
I just think that's a hysterical
in the
quote.
Show.
That's a really hysterical quote.
It is.
But, you know, these girls who do pageants and maybe host one night at a bar and do one number, they're not performing and they're not acting and they don't have a character, because their character is... bitchy pageant girl.
Well, to go on the other side of the fence, when you're going on a show like RuPaul's Drag Race, if you don't know that you're going to be doing an acting challenge, if you don't know you're going to be doing a campy style challenge or a comedy challenge.
I almost punched Alyssa Edwards in the face when she was like, God. I did not know that we were going to have to do a celebrity challenge. Really, Alyssa Edwards? There. Have you never watched the show that you're on?
Like, real. I mean, and that's the thing, is I felt like they kind of just went, oh, well, this is season 5. We all know each other, kind of. We're just going to kind of have fun with this and whatever happens.
We're going to laugh and kiki and laugh and kiki.
I was over the Relaska Talks. I was over all of that.
I didn't even think that it was really Relaska Talks. I really thought it was a Roll Talks. Yeah. That was it.
Well, that's because Detox is from Orlando.
Right.
And so is Coco. I mean, the three of them, like, are biffles.
But it's interesting. Who do you think's gonna take it all in the end?
I think Jinx is gonna win.
I hope Jinx takes it.
I think Jinx will have a good event, especially in the courtroom scenes that she did. They were so funny. I feel like
the winner should. And that's my problem with other reality shows, but I'm not gonna go into this. But I feel like when you get to the top three, it needs to be looked at as a whole, like as the competition.
And that's what RuPaul
like
said.
Top model.
RuPaul
and
said
they look at their whole portfolio.
RuPaul said at the end of the last episode, we're gonna look at everything from the whole season. But there's not really anything to look at when it's been so damn bland the entire season. Yep. So that's that.
What about if she's like, no winner?
Rianne Balsley wins. She calls me. She FaceTimes me.
And we've talked about this off the show before, but we really want Rianne to be in.
Look, I was top 30 for the second season, and I'm thinking about doing it again. But they just casted for 6, so I can't do season 6.
I told you to do it.
But still.
Bitch, you know what's going on in my life. There's no way in hell I could have auditioned for season 6.
Well, that is it for the Gay Man's Guide to RuPaul's Drag Race. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, iTunes, and Podomatic.
Yes,
and
the other one.
And if you want to write on Facebook how much you want to hate on me for liking Roxy, that's fine.
I'm gonna do that later.
I'm just gonna go on and send a little hate since nobody else knows.
No tea, no shade.
All shade.
Continue to like us on Podomatic because that boosts our rating. And I still think we're either number. I think we're number 5.
You just said that.
Well, I think we're number 5 now.
We're the most popular girls in school. That's so true. It's fine.
Yeah, we are. We are. That's fine. But yeah, we kind of dropped since our little hiatus. So we're sorry about that. Sorry, not sorry. And remember, if you can't love yourself,
how the hell are you gonna love somebody else?
Can I get an amen up in here?
Amen. Now let the music play.